السلام عليكم جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله الذي يجيبني حين أناديه ويستر علي كل عورة وأنا أعصيه ويعظم النعمة علي فلا أجازيه. نحمده ونسبحه ونقدسه على آلائه ونعمائه، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، إلها واحدا أحدا فردا صمدا قيوما، نؤمن له بالربوبية ونقر له بالعبودية. من يهدي الله فهو المهتدي، ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا. ونشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله، أرسله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك وترحم على محمد وآل محمد كأفضل ما صليت وسلمت وباركت وترحمت على إبراهيم وآل إبراهيم في العالمين، إنك حميد مجيد. وصل اللهم وسلم على جميع الأنبياء والمرسلين والأوصياء والصديقين وعترة نبيك الطيبين الطاهرين وأصحابه المنتجبين ومن تبعهم بإحسان وإيمان إلى يوم الدين. عباد الله، أوصيكم وأوصي نفسي بتقوى الله ولزوم أمره. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يوم ندعو كل أناس بإمامهم، فمن أوتي كتابه بيمينه فأولئك يقرؤون كتابهم ولا يظلمون فتيلا. ومن كان في هذه أعمى فهو في الآخرة أعمى وأضل سبيلا. صدق الله العلي العظيم.
اللهم صل على
محمد. On the 25th of the month of Shawwal was the anniversary of the martyrdom of the sixth Imam of the school of Ahlul Bayt, Al-Imam Abu Abdullah Ja'far ibn Muhammad al-Sadiq alayhi salatu wassalam. And this Imam, we are attributed to him in the Shia tradition. The name of our tradition is the Ja'fari, nisbatan ila al-imam Ja'far al-Sadiq, related to him. His first name is Ja'far. Now, the founders and the pioneers of Shia Islam is Prophet Muhammad himself sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Imam Ali alayhi salam. Those are the pioneers and the pathfinders and the founding fathers of the school of Ahlul Bayt. The Prophet was the first one who introduced the school of Ahlul Bayt when he said, I am going to leave my community, physically I am going to leave my community, but my legacy is there. And my legacy are two. One, Kitab Allah wa Itrati Ahl Bayti. Kitab Allah, the Book of God, the Holy Quran, is going to remain among you as a reference, as a source of guidance and source of teaching. And the interpreters of this book, the interpreters are the family of the Prophet, who are qualified to interpret this book, the Holy Quran. And this is what he said in numerous occasions. People heard him saying that in different places and different occasions. So the Prophet was the founder of the school of Ahlul Bayt. However, then why the Shia are called Ja'fari? Because during the time of Imam al-Sadiq, during that era, Imam al-Sadiq was born about 70 years after the death of the Prophet. During his era, that era witnessed the emergence of madhahib, schools of thoughts. Before that, there was no madhab. People were Muslims. People were divided into many groups. people who were following the school of Sahaba, certain Sahaba, and people who were following Ahlul Bayt, the family of the Prophet. But then after that, because Islam expanded, and the Islamic fiqh, the Islamic law also expanded due to the needs of the congregations and the communities and the societies. Therefore, there were the emergence, that era witnessed the emergence of madhahib. Madhhab al-Hanbali. Hanbali came later, Hanafi, attributed to Imam Abu Hanifa, and Nu'man ibn Thabit, who was born in Kabul in Afghanistan, but he traveled to Medina to study in Medina. Imam Malik ibn Anas al-Asbahi, who was born in Medina, Imam Shafi'i, and lastly Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, who was born in Baghdad and buried in Baghdad. So, but before them, Imam al-Sadiq was born in the year 83 Hijri. And Imam al-Sadiq was their leader and their mentor and their teacher. Two of them, they were his disciples and his students. Imam Abu Hanifa and Nu'man ibn Thabit, and Imam Malik ibn Anas. They were his students, sitting under his minbar and listening to him and learning from him the Islamic fiqh, Islamic Sharia. And the other two, Al-Shafi'i and Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, they were the students of Imam Malik. So they were indirectly also the students of Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam. And I mentioned this last night here. One of the names and titles of Imam al-Sadiq is Mu'allim al-Fuqaha, Imam al-Fuqaha. He's the Imam, the mentor, the teacher of the jurists. So at that time, these schools developed and they were distinguished from each other. So some people followed Abu Hanifa, some people followed Malik. In the beginning, Malik was popular. Today, the Hanafi tradition is the largest tradition within the Sunni. And I would tell you, within the Sunni school, Hanafis, they make about 28% of the Sunnis worldwide. Before him was Imam Malik. Imam Malik was hired by Al-Mansur al-Abbasi, the second caliph in Baghdad. The Abbasid, they felt insecure with the presence of the Imams of Ahlul Bayt. They felt insecure. They knew that Imams of Ahlul Bayt are going to get to receive the attraction of the Ummah because of their piety, because of their standing, because of their knowledge, and because they are the family of the Prophet, the descendants of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So always the Umayyads and the Abbasids, they felt sick and insecure because of the presence of the Imams of Ahlul Bayt. And as a reaction to this insecurity, they decided to slaughter them. This is what happened to Imam Hassan, died by poison by Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan. Imam Hussein died by Yazid in Karbala. Imam Zain al-Abidin died by Abdul Malik ibn Marwan. Imam Muhammad al-Baqir, Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq, it was killed during the Abbasid period. Up to Imam al-Baqir, they were killed during the Umayyad period. Imam al-Sadiq was the first Imam who was murdered by the Abbasid government and by al-Mansur. So al-Mansur did not want Ahlul Bayt to come to the front because they knew that if we give them freedom, people are going to be attracted to them and there will be nothing left for us. We will be sidelined. So they started to promote other imams, to give them money and help and support and promotion. So people will listen to other imams and they would not listen to the Ahlul Bayt. One of those bright and intelligent imams was Imam Malik ibn Anas, who was the student of Imam al-Sadiq. Al-Mansur al-Abbasi asked him to write a book in fiqh, in Islamic law. And he asked him to name his book Al-Muwatta, Al-Muwatta in Arabic means easy, as-sahl, as-sahlu al-Muwatta. Easy for people to handle, to grab, to understand. So it would be the best seller in town. When they publish it, people will take the book and they would follow the Islamic Sharia according to Imam Malik, according to the opinion of Imam Malik. And they formed an alliance. So Imam Malik was supporting the Caliph. Imam Malik is a nobleman, and he's very intelligent. But maybe under threat, intimidation, fear, he had to listen to the Caliph. And he wrote the book, and the book was published. And all Islamic courts, whether in Iraq, at that time the capital of Islam was in Iraq, in Baghdad. Whether it's in Iraq, or Syria, or Egypt, or Yemen, or Al Jazeera, Al Arabiya, and other places, as far as Afghanistan, as far as Russia today, Muslims reach these areas. And to the west, they reach the Atlantic coast. They had to follow Imam Malik. But then, you cannot feel always, you cannot be always safe with a tyrant. Tyrants, they change their mind. Then after that, Mansur al-Abbasi changed his mind, and after promoting Imam Malik and making him the only leader, and he said this, he said, once Malik is in town, no one has the right to do fatwa. La yufta wa malikun fil Medina. This is a very popular saying. La yufta. No one has the right to say any fatwa, to give any opinion while Imam Malik is there. You have to listen to him. He's the sole and the only source of knowledge and fatwa. But then the tyrants, you cannot trust the tyrant. Tyrants are not driven by values and principles. They are driven by greed, by thirst for power. He turned against Malik and he puts Malik in jail. And then he turns to Abu Hanifa and Nu'man ibn Thabit. And after Malik being the official alim, scholar and mufti of the Islamic State, not Islamic State of Daesh, huh? Similar to Daesh, Bani al-Abbas were similar, from the same tradition, you know. He puts Imam Malik and he tortures him, he puts him in jail and he promotes Imam Abu Hanifa. So the Hanafi madhab becomes more popular to them. And then Imam Abu Hanifa had one of his students who became the supreme judge in the entire state. Everywhere, every city, every capital, they have to follow Abu Yusuf al-Qadhi, the students of Imam Abu Hanifa. And this is how the Hanafi madhab was promoted. Because the Supreme Court is Hanafi. And the law is Hanafi law. The schools have to be Hanafi. The seminaries have to be Hanafi. The market has to follow the Hanafi rules. Therefore, the Hanafis became the most popular tradition until today. Until today. While Ahlul Bayt were crushed. Ahlul Bayt at the same time, the very same time, when they promote another school, they crush and persecute the Imams of Ahlul Bayt. Imam al-Sadiq has to be put in jail. And Imam al-Sadiq would be brought 7 times, not 1 or 2, 7 times from Medina all the way to Baghdad to stand before the Caliph, where the Caliph would reprimand him and it threatens him 7 times. At that time there were no airplanes. It took weeks to get from Baghdad to Medina to Baghdad and then back to Medina. 7 times Imam al-Sadiq will be brought before the Caliph in Baghdad just for the Caliph to threaten him, criticize him, intimidate him and reprimand him. And of course his father, his son, Imam Musa ibn Ja'far alayhi salam, you know, he ended up 11 years, some historians say 13 years, some historians say 11 years in jail, between Basra, the jails of Basra, and the jails of Baghdad, until he died inside the jail. Imam Musa ibn Ja'far alayhi salatu wasalam, the son of Imam al-Sadr. And then Imam Rida was the same. Imam Rida was killed by al-Ma'mun al-Abbasi. But the Imams, they never gave up. They continued their journey. Imam al-Sadiq was a universal leader. When he would teach, hundreds of people would listen to him. And some of those students would not follow his tradition. They were from the Sunni tradition, but he was their mentor. He transcended these sectarian barriers. He was a universal leader, just like his grandfather, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. God says about Prophet Muhammad, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. You are not just source of mercy for the Muslims, you are the source of mercy for mankind, for all mankind. So his descendants, the Imams of Ahlul Bayt, were the source of guidance and teaching and mercy to all people, not just the Shia, the followers of Ahlul Bayt. And this is what we have to learn from our Imams, to be universal. I always say this. I have said this many times here. We are proud of our Shiism. Very proud. Because we believe this is the right path, the straight path to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But at the same time, we have universal heart and universal mind. We embrace others. We have no problem with others. We accept them. We embrace them. We reach out to them. We build the bridges of brotherhood, sisterhood, understanding, dialogue with others too. We should not be narrow-minded. And we dedicate our love and our attention only to our Shia community. This is wrong. Your love, your respect, your giving, your good feelings has to transcend these small barriers that we created. And it goes everywhere, east and west. It goes to every house. Islam teaches us, and Ahlul Bayt, they teach us, we should never judge people. Neither we look at their religious identity before we speak to them. Leave religious identity alone. Leave it alone. Look at people as a human being. Don't judge them by their religious tradition and religious identity. This is not good. This will make you narrow-minded. This will make you fanatic. This will make you radical. This will make you think that God created paradise only for you, not for others. So when you look at people, look at them as human beings, as equal to you. Maybe they have different thoughts, different tradition. It's okay. It's okay. God gave them a brain and God gave them choice. And God Himself, who gave us a brain and choice and everything, He never forced me to follow this path. He said, I leave it for you. أَلَمْ نَجْعَلْ لَهُ عَيْنَيْنَ وَلِسَانًا وَشَفَتَيْنَ وَهَدَيْنَاهُ النَّجْدَيْنَ. I leave it for you to decide. I leave it for your intelligence, for your choice. I'm not forcing you. We have the choice, but we have to make an informed choice, not a blind one. Some people, unfortunately, they make a blind choice. They say, I follow this tradition, but when you ask him why, he doesn't know, because his mother follows this tradition. As a grandfather follows this tradition. This is not enough. When you stand before God, He would never accept from you to say that I followed my mother and my grandfather and my family tradition and my village. He wouldn't accept that. He says, where is your brain? I've given you brain. You should use your brain. You should learn. You should read. You should investigate. And then you make a choice. This is an informed choice. And God says, when you make an informed choice, I will guide you to the right point, to the right place. I would never fail you. Promise me you do your homework, you do good investigation, you don't do bias reading, bias investigation, be neutral, read, you will find the answer. The answer is not hidden. The answer is there, but it requires intelligence. And it requires neutrality. But if I am biased, even if I have intelligence, I'm not going to find the answer. I'm going to find the answer that I like, not the answer that God likes. What we learn from Imam al-Sadiq is to be open-minded, is to respect others. Difference of opinion should not pit us against each other. This is not good. I always said, and I will say this until I die. The day Islam becomes dignified in America is only when the Shias and the Sunnis, they stand shoulder to shoulder together. They worship together, they work together, they live together. They trust each other. That day Islam is going to be the strongest. The strongest. But if we keep fighting and having suspicion, Islam is the weakest religion. The weakest religion. And you're going to hear about Islamophobia every single day. You want to stop Islamophobia? Be united. Be united among yourselves. Respect each other. Respect. Do not judge each other. Leave the judgment for the judge. And the judge is God. Only God. Not us. Our role is to advise, is to be nice to each other, is to invite, but not to judge. Not to judge. Countries who judge, societies who judge, families who judge, individuals who judge, they always fail. They always fail. They never gain what they want to gain. They always fail. Teach, always teach awareness. We need ta'rif. Ta'rif, awareness. But we leave the choice for the individuals. Assalamu alayka ya Sayyidi wa ya Mawlaya ya Aba Abdullah ayyuhal Imam Ja'far ibn Muhammadin al-Sadiq alayhi salatu wa salamu ala abaika wa ajdadika al-tahirin. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wal Asr innal insana lafi khusrin illa alladhina amanu wa amilu al-salihat wa tawasaw bil-haqqi wa tawasaw bil-sabr wa sallallahu wa sallam ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ahli baytih al-tayyibin al-tahirin. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين نحمده ونسبحه ونقدسه ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله اللهم صل وسلم وبارك وترحم على محمد وآل محمد كأفضل ما صليت وسلمت وباركت وترحمت على إبراهيم وآل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد وصل اللهم وسلم على خلفاء نبيك وأوصيائه وأهل بيته علي أمير المؤمنين وقائد الغر المحجلين وعلى البضعة الطاهرة فاطمة الزهراء سيدة نساء العالمين وعلى سبطي نبي الرحمة وسيدي شباب أهل الجنة الحسن والحسين عليهما السلام وعلى علي بن الحسين ومحمد بن علي وجعفر بن محمد وموسى بن جعفر وعلي بن موسى ومحمد بن علي وعلي بن محمد والحسن بن علي والخلف الهادي المهدي عجل الله تعالى فرجه وسهل مخرجه وجعلنا من أنصاره وأعوانه عباد الله أوصيكم وأوصي نفسي بتقوى الله ولزوم أمره. Just a sample of the wisdom of Ahlul Bayt, Imam al-Sadiq, in one short hadith, just one sample. Imam al-Sadiq is the source of knowledge. And Imam Abu Hanifa and Imam Malik, both, they testify that we have never seen in our life, in our entire life, a person more knowledgeable and more pious and more integrated than Imam al-Sadiq. So I'll just take one hadith which is related to our life here. We can use it. We can utilize this hadith in our daily life. One day, in his presence, when Imam al-Sadiq was sitting, he heard someone yantaqisu shakhsan akhar, demeaning. Someone in his presence was disrespecting and putting down and demeaning someone else. As an imam, he cannot be silent. And he shouldn't be silent. When someone is being abused and you are there, you have to say, you have to do something. You have to stop this. So the Imam said beautiful words. It's a lesson for all of us. He said, why did you demean him? He said, because he comes from a village. He's a villager. Villager. Even at that time, there were this bias against villagers, people who come from the farms, people from who come from the countryside. The Imam said to him, but this is not good what you said. He said to him, أَصْلُ الرَّجُلِ عَقْلُهُ أَصْلُ الرَّجُلِ عَقْلُهُ. When you look at a person, an individual, the essence of that individual is not his village, is not where he was born in. Don't look at his birthplace. Don't look at his country. Don't look at his nationality. Don't look at his house, his zip code. His essence and his value lies in his aql, in his intelligence. أَصْلُ الرَّجُلِ عَقْلُ. The essence of a humanity is aql. If you want to evaluate someone, look at his aql. Now, whether he comes from a village in Africa or India, or whether he's born in Manhattan, New York, or Beverly Hills, Los Angeles, doesn't matter. Look at his aql, his reason. أَصْلُ الرَّجُلِ عَقْلُ. وَحَسَبُهُ دِينُهُ. حَسَبُهُ means his ancestry, his lineage. Because sometimes we respect some people because they come from this family, this family tree. Others, we don't respect them because they have no family tree, or they are unknown. This is not true. إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ. God does not look at our families. On the day of judgment, they will put me there. I'll stand before God. My parents are not with me. My siblings are not with me. My family are not with me. يَوْمَ يَفِرُّ الْمَرْءُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ وَأُمِّهِ وَأَبِيهِ وَصَاحِبَتِهِ وَبَنِيهِ. You stand there by yourself. You don't carry with you any other title, just yourself. And they're going to judge you based on your conduct, not based on who your father was, what your last name was. They don't look at these things. They are irrelevant. My last name is irrelevant. You know, in the day of judgment, how they call us? By what name? They don't say Mustafa al-Qazwini. They call me by myself and the name of my mother. Because you are born from this mother. We call you by the name of your mother. You stand there. No titles, no doctors, no engineers, no ayatollahs, no His Excellency, no His whatever, no His Majesty. Your name and the name of your mother. وَأَصْلُهُ وَحَسَبُهُ وَحَسَبُهُ. His ancestry is his faith. How much faith you have? How much honesty you have? How much commitment you have? How much service you did for the sake of God? This is your hasab. This is your family. This is your lineage. وَكَرَمُهُ. The honor and the dignity and the value of an individual lies in his what? In his money? In his property? In his children? No. تَقْوَى. تَقْوَى. His piety. Not his property. His piety. How much taqwa you have? Your value is graded and measured according to your taqwa. Inna akramakum inda Allahi atqakum. Imam Zainul Abidin said to someone, said to him, khalaqallahu al-jannata liman ata'ahu walau kana abdan habashi. God has created paradise for those who obey him, even though they come from Africa. Black people from Africa, they go to paradise. وَخَلَقَ النَّارَ لِمَنْ عَصَاهُ وَلَوْ كَانَ سَيِّدًا قُرَشِيًّا. And he created punishment and hellfire for those who disobey him, even if they come from the heart of Quraysh, even if they come from the family of the Prophet, from Mecca, downtown Mecca. Where is Abu Lahab now? Abu Lahab, his house was in downtown Mecca. Abu Lahab's house was only 20 meters from the Kaaba, 20 meters. Where is he now? He's in the heart of Jahannam. تَبَّتْ يَدَا أَبِي لَهَبٍ وَتَبْ. Because of his disobedience to God. So it didn't help him. Being the uncle of the Prophet did not help him. Didn't help him. This is the standard in Islam. And these are the lessons of our imams. The wisdom of our imams and the heritage of our imams. And who should follow our imams? You guys. Because you call themselves, yourselves, Ja'fari, Shia. followers of Ahlul Bayt. If you want to be true Ja'fari, this is the path and this is the way. Allahumma aghfir lil mu'minina wal mu'minat wal muslimina wal muslimat al ahya'i minhum wal amwat. I mention three names, we recite Fatiha for